If you want to go with the flow, live in the moment, wind in your hair kind of life, you need a forward-thinking, prepared-for-anything kind of plan. Like the Audi Freeway Plan Extension. It extends your Audi's maintenance plan by an extra 2 years or up to 200,000 kilometers. And with free roadside assistance, living in the moment has never gone more according to plan. Visit your nearest Audi dealer today. T's and C's apply. Audi, Vorsprung durch Technik.
We're still continuing our conversation around work in general, because there's so many different forces that impact the nature of work. Work and its role in society has really become the subject of considerable public commentary over the past couple of years, and debate, of course. And some people believe that the world of work is changing. And it's changing so thoroughly and so quickly that we should consider ourselves pioneers of a new historical era. Some even say that the idea of a job has become antiquated, that job security has become based on an illusion. That's what some commentators say. As manufacturing is giving way to service work, the workforce will be populated by more unskilled workers around the world. And then on the other hand, you have people who have argued that work is disappearing altogether, at least for a significant percentage of the population. There are those who assert more optimistically that many countries will become nations of highly skilled technicians, professionals, free agents, and telecommuters. And still, there are those voices that also say that some of these claims are overstated. They're overstated because they are naively utopian and unnecessarily alarmist. And these analysts say that the changes that are happening are just a regular, just a natural, gradual evolution that society is experiencing incrementally. And so we need to look at how the world of work, the nature of work, is being impacted by a number of forces. Things like changes in the demography, technology, what's happening in the markets, organizational structures, employment practices. There are all sorts of drivers that are leading and driving these changes. But what do you think? Are you working as a freelancer, maybe as a solo entrepreneur? That's what some people are choosing to call themselves, as freelancers. Are you maybe delivering on projects that are happening in different parts of the world, working in collaboration with other skilled people on projects wherever they may be sitting across the globe, and you work on a project basis? And this is really your career, because work no longer is about clocking in at 9 and clocking out at 5. It's not about showing up so much. It's rather about the results and the output that is to be seen. And we're seeing these trends changing yet again. And Bronwyn Williams, a trend translator at Flux Trends, joins us now to look at some of the changes that are confronting us right now. Bronwyn, thank you for being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
So there's no denying, in my view, that the world is in the midst of another era of transformation. We are going through it, especially in the technological infrastructure side, and the impacts that that is having, similar to what we saw being triggered by the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s. This is triggering more changes. Would you agree with that? And what impact is it having?
Absolutely. We would definitely agree with that. What we really have seen is this breakdown of the 9-to-5 salaried workforce, which is actually an anomaly in human history. For most of humanity's history, people have been free agents. I mean, we started out as being subsistence farmers, per se. It was only when we came across with like feudal society, when peasants started working for a landlord. And that's actually the minority rather than the majority of human life.
Yeah.
And obviously, most people, I know I certainly would prefer to be independent rather than dependent on a boss or a job, which is really what a job does. You trade away a bit of your freedom and liberty in exchange for a bit of security in the form of a paycheck.
That sentiment, I wonder how many people agree with that. Would you rather be more independent than dependent on an employer? Because some like that safety net.
Yes, absolutely. It's a trade-off. And it definitely is a trade-off. But what's happened now, what has broken down, is that safety net is no longer so safe.
Yes.
And we've really seen this coming out after the 2008 financial crisis. I mean, at Flux Trends, we've been tracking for a long time the developed homes and families across the developed world mm-hmm. have seen their incomes declining. You were just talking earlier about the increases in school fees, for example.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's getting harder and harder to maintain that same lifespan mm-hmm. or lifestyle. Younger people, millennials, just can't afford the same size houses their parents had. I know South Africa is a bit of a different situation, but if you zoom out and look at it from a global perspective, mm-hmm. Americans are no longer able to afford, even if they have a degree, which their parents didn't have, mm-hmm. a nice house and the two cars and the picket fence lifestyle. It's just becoming inaccessible. Mm. And if you start to then look at what's happening in the world of work since then, is millennials have already spearheaded the shift from the salaried life to freelancing or being independent agents that contract out for work at different times.
Yes.
That's not happening slowly. It's happened very quickly. I mean, I'm giving away my age, but 30 years ago, you know, when we started looking at this, less than 6% of the workforce, your middle-class workforce, was a freelancer or a gig worker.
It has happened very quickly because in my 20-year career, being a freelancer was the exception.
Absolutely.
We were such a small group and we sat outside of the bulk of the workforce that was permanently employed.
Yes. And then at the other side of the scale, now today, LinkedIn is saying that by 2020, which is now just a year away, 43% of the profiles on that platform are going to be freelancers. Mm-hmm. I've read other statistics coming out of the US, which is obviously a first world market, but it's definitely an indicator of what's going on in the world, that already we're seeing 50% of people have some form of freelance work. They might have a salary job, but they're also working part-time to supplement that income.
Yeah.
So this is a really massive, massive trend, this shift away from this supposedly secure mm-hmm. salaried environment where you could still be retrenched or fired for saying something wrong on social
yes.
media. You know, there's a whole lot of insecurities that come with that. But the next shift that we're mm-hmm. seeing now with Generation Z, who are really a game-changing generation, is the shift away from gig work and towards what we are calling bounty work.
Right. So what is bounty work? How does it work?
Well, bounty work, you can see it as being a race rather than audition. Whether you are applying for a job as a salaried worker or you are tendering for work as a freelancer or a contractor, at the moment you put together a nice proposal, you go into a room full of people and you pitch and you sell yourself and somebody gets the job, very much like an audition. With bounty work, it's a race. So the first one to do the work gets paid. It might sound very strange, but it's actually gone on for a long time. That's where the word bounty comes from.
Yes.
Back in the Wild West, you know, the sheriff would put a price on some outlaw's head and the first person to catch the guy and bring him back dead or alive got the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the essence of what this is. But why it's gaining ground right now is because, first of all, we've got this freelance work base. It's looking to supplement the income that has to earn stuff all the time. And secondly, we've got technology that now allows us to track and verify that many more tasks.
So let's just pause there for a minute, because as a company, we recently did a little bit of an exercise, like a brand logo refresh. And we put out the work, or there's a platform where you put out what it is that you need. And then you had designers from all over the world giving you the work and their interpretation based on the brief that you've put out. Mm. And then we picked one. So it wasn't necessarily a race per se, but it was everybody doing the work. And then we went, we like number 5.
Correct.
And then the transaction happened.
Well, that's still part of that shift. That wouldn't be a perfect bouncy work example, but it is already showing that the work is shifting. When you're pitching for a job currently under the tender environment, you do a lot of free, unpaid work putting your proposal or your pitch together.
Mm.
Now with bouncy work, you do the work in the hope that you're going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still unpaid work that happens, but actually it just shifts it a bit.
Right.
A more classic example of bouncy work would be something that is a quantifiable task.
Yeah.
So a better example and something where you're still actually picking the logo you like would be, say, when you currently want to hire a social media marketing agency. So at the moment, you've got a website, you've maybe starting to set up an e-commerce store based on what the previous interview was talking about, and you don't know how to market yourself, so you call 3 advertising agencies in to come and pitch, and they come and tell you how, if you give them money, they'll be able to sell more of your stuff by placing ads here, there, and wherever.
Yeah.
That's under the classic model. But with bug bounties, instead of choosing your favorite ad agency and their campaign, instead you would just simply say, okay, I've run my numbers and I will pay any of you 10 Rand for every t-shirt you sell on my website.
Wow.
Go and do it.
Yeah.
So it really puts the risk away from the person paying or the employer or the clients and onto the shoulders of the person doing the work. So this has happened for a long time. Affiliate marketing, pay-per-click marketing is all part of this environment.
Yes.
But what we're seeing with things like smart contracts and ad tracking devices and even QR codes, so you can track what goes on in print publication,
mm-hmm.
is that we can quantify and finalize all sorts of different jobs that have a definitive end. If you do this, you get
That's it. So it works really well for certain types of jobs, not every job. It's a question of quality, or there are other imperatives or criteria that will need to be looked at. But shouldn't it be seen as a subset within the gig economy? Because
Absolutely.
It is a form of gigging with different processes, as you've just outlined, or are the differences material enough for it to be seen as a completely new type of work?
Well, I would say it's a trend within the gig economy, but it's definitely something we're moving towards.
Mm.
As our lives become more and more digitized and those boundaries between the quantitative and the qualitative and the virtual and the real become more and more blurred, we're going to be able to bountify that many more jobs. And it is a massive shift in mindset, whereas you're now having to compete on skill and ability and not on relationship. Or the ability to brown nose, if you say in a company, you know, suck your way up, or rely on your networks or your kickbacks with your friends and your Tinder network. It really becomes a case of people are going to have to rely more on their ability to do the work rather than their ability to sell themselves. And that is quite a big distinction that the workforce needs to get their head around.
Wow. We're taking your calls right now, 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. What do you think of the way in which the nature of work is changing? Well, it's changing again. There was a generation that enjoyed secure salaried work at some point with the golden handshake or maybe a watch when they retired from a company, and they had that company sponsored pension to look forward to at retirement. And then you had millennials, and they're freelancers. They've embraced the gig economy. But now we're dealing with another shift, and this shift entails bounty work. Have you been doing bounty work, or maybe you earn a living through the gig economy? How's it working out for you? And I want to also know about the impact that it has on your mental health, because I suspect that there's also an unspoken truth about freelance work and that impact on mental health that it can have. And then the other effects on other industries is what we'll be exploring after the break. So the nature of work is changing again. Your questions and your comments on 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. We'll take your WhatsApps and your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Azania Mosaga on 702. Call Azania on 011-883-0702.
23 minutes past two, we're still in conversation with Bronwyn Williams, trend translator at Flux Trends, because we're looking at the changing nature of work. With the unemployment levels that we see in South Africa, 26.7%, we need to be aware of where opportunities reside and how we can earn a living. And when it comes to the gig economy and with bounty work, you're able to provide services across the world and not just here in South Africa. You do have to be pretty flexible, and you have to be connected have your skills on point. So Bronwyn has been guiding us through how bounty work happens. We've got a few questions. Bronwyn, Tabo says, are estate agents also a type of bounty work? First one to sell the house gets the commission, not on sole agent deal, of course, he says.
Yes, that would be a perfect example of a bounty job where everyone does the work, but only one person gets paid, the best one.
Any other examples that, in the general marketplace already?
Yes, Uber would be one. So, the first driver or the closest driver to where your location is gets the fare. It's not a case of they all just sit out there and like petition you to choose that particular car.
Right.
You just get allocated that car.
But this also came out of the tech space, didn't it?
Yes. So the acceleration in this trend, which is why we've picked it up at the moment, is very much spearheaded by the whole blockchain cryptocurrency community, which will be familiar with the concept of proof of work. So this is sort of an extension of that, away from the computer's proof of work to a human proof of work.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of these technological and startup-based companies that are working in the tech space have issues with, say, bugs in their code. So they can put out what they call bug bounties, which is the sort of term that's been trending quite a lot at the moment. So if you can find where the line of code is broken,
bug bounty hunter.
Exactly, like exterminators.
Yes.
you can get paid for taking out that bug, which is fantastic. But from that, we've seen evolving also from smart contracts, which have also had their origins within the blockchain type economies.
Mm-hmm.
Smart contracts being self-executing contracts. So in other words, once you find that bug, you can automatically be paid, which is even better. Now it makes very much sense to start putting these efficiencies in place in these platforms. But they've extended now to other sorts of tasks. So once they see the system's working, other tasks can come and play. So a lot of ICOs, which people have lost a lot of money in, for example, put out bounties to say, if you promote my ICO on your Twitter feed, for example, if you use this hashtag, you'll get paid every time you do that. So those sort of small tasks are very easy to monetize. If you do the work, you get paid.
Yes.
But what's very interesting from an African perspective here and from a third world perspective is that these sort of bounty programs are being seen as a high-tech way out of poverty.
Because
anyone can sign up and join, just like anyone can become an Uber driver.
Yes.
You can teach yourself to work with the code because blockchain code is actually quite accessible. It's one of the less complicated coding languages, as many IT people will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a lot of self-taught people in the third world learning how to solve these bugs, to follow these bug programs and collect these bounties and start earning a nice income for themselves.
Yes.
So there's one platform in particular that seems to have taken off around the African space, especially in the center of the continent, not so much here, known as Bounty OX. And they've got 30,000 people signed up to it.
Wow.
Which is fantastic. That's 30,000 people earning an income.
Mm.
And a lot of these bugs are not necessarily very high paid, which means they're less attractive to, say, a Silicon Valley engineer who's earning a massive salary. But they're very attractive to someone who's trying to eke a living out and get paid now in dollars. That's fantastic.
And of course, you are, it's that issue of being dependent, that it's in your hands.
Yes.
You know, you can really take command of this. So what effects does this kind of change have on other market forces? Because with the formal structure, things like unions are a big part of the workplace.
Yes. So we're going to have to see how this plays out. We all know what's happened with unions and Uber drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And we could really see these sort of bounty programs as being the Uberfication of all sorts of tasks and industries.
Major disruptor.
So Uber will be a great learning case for us to see how the law handles those programs.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of these sort of tasks that are being bountified are not unionized tasks because they're new economy tasks that don't have unions set up in those fields.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes quite a nice libertarian project. So people have the option to do the bug or not. No one is forcing you to join a bug bounty program to find the problem in someone's code from Asia.
Yes.
So it's really up to the individual. If the reward is worth the task, then they can do it. If the reward is not worth the task, then you don't bother with that with your time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a nice self-regulating pricing mechanism for the market.
Mm-hmm.
So if the bounty offerer is not offering a high enough bug, they're not going to get the job done. And that's also why we're seeing a lot of this bug bounty rewards flowing to the third world, where the pricing mechanism is more effective or more attractive to the unemployed or the underemployed market.
Yeah. And I know that all these changes coexist with old systems. So you have this hybrid within any economy. You have salaried people, you have maybe they augment their income by doing gigs or maybe even bounty work. And that's really the reality of where we are now. So it's not to say that this is turning the economy on its head. It's not to say that at all. They're all coexisting.
They're all coexisting, but we're definitely seeing that balance tipping away from salaried employees towards the whole gig market.
Yeah.
Once we breach that 50% mark, and we're already over the 40% mark now, it's what we're heading up to, then it is going to set some real changes in place. And from my perspective, I see the future of work as being far less salaried. And in fact, I'm starting to see that the people that have salaries within 10, 20, 30 years time are going to be at a disadvantage compared to the freelancer economy who has multiple revenue streams and is not beholden to one company.
Yes.
Especially when we consider that Fortune 500, those are the biggest companies around today, have a lifespan of just 10 to 15 years.
Are we resilient enough to be able to deal with that? Because being a freelancer also carries its own weight, you know, because that safety net of knowing there's a building, there's an employer, I'm getting a paycheck at the end of the month. But when you don't have that, you can go through a lot of strain.
Absolutely. But that comes back to generational mindsets. So my generation, the millennial generation, is going to be that watershed generation. So we are the testing ground. And for us, we're going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But our children and even Generation Z, mm-hmm. who are entering the workplace with this mindset of every man for himself again,
wow.
are going to be much more resilient for a world of work in flux.
Mm. And indeed it is. So those are the changes underfoot. And I guess it's not just changes. It suggests there's opportunities. Bronwyn, thank you very much.